Breathe, breathe on me now. Open your mouth and speak the word that heals this broken ground. Say what you will. Show us your will as we breathe in the very breath of God. Oh, Spirit of God, here with us now, giving us life. With your power, Spirit of God, breathe on me now. Open your mouth and speak the word that heals this broken ground. Say what you your will as we breathe in the very breath of God. Oh, Spirit of God, here with us now, giving us life again. Breathe on us now.
Every day I see or hear something that more or less kills me with delight, that leaves me like a needle in the haystack of light. It was what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclamation. Nor am I talking about the exceptional, the fearful, the dreadful, the very extravagant, but of the ordinary, the common, the very drab, the daily presentations. O good scholar, I say to myself, how can you help but grow wise with such teachings as these? The untrimmable light of the world, the ocean's shine, the prayers that are made out of grass.
There's a man that needs somewhere to sleep, and a bag lady digs through the trash, hoping to find some food to eat.
in that cold winter snow walks a boy that needs shoes for his feet. In an old rundown house, there's a child in a crib that needs some heat. In the dark of the night, a young man searches for a guiding light. And a young woman cries in despair, cause she feels alone in life. You can ask yourself, what in the hell does that have to do with me? Well, here's your wake-up call, everything, cause we all play a part in each other's existence.
Take the time out to love someone. Reach your arms out and hug someone. Be a king or some homeless one. We are one underneath the sun. Take the time out to be right there. Take the time out to show you care. You'll be so glad when the day is done. You took the time out to love someone.
There's a man in a house selling drugs, yet he's trying to be strong. But when lost in the sea of no hope, he must be safe from wrong. Don't say what you won't do if for days you had no food to eat. No extremes, you won't go for a bed, shoes, or if your baby needed heat. You do not have the right to prejudge if you don't share your strength. And you can't say you're down for the fight if you won't go the length. Now I don't really care what you feel if you don't care for life, and don't care what you think if your words don't have ways and actions that perpetuate lies.
Take the time out to love someone.
Love someone.
Reach your arms out.
Hug someone.
Be a king or some homeless one. We are one underneath. Time out to be right there. Take the time out to show you care. You'll be so glad when the day is done. You took the time out to love someone. Take the time out to love someone.
Amen. That was our music team's version of Stevie Wonder's Take the Time Out, reminding us once more that indeed we are all called to play a part in each other's existence. We are one underneath the sun, and we long to remember this deep truth here at the table. And we, along with the world, have been reminded in the wake of this week's massacre in Atlanta, Georgia, of just how deeply our world needs this message right now. I want to pause in worship and to say to our Asian American and Pacific Islanders, those in our community, those around the world who are grieving, who are afraid, who are enraged, that we grieve with you. We long to be in this together with you, and we know that the violence that we witnessed this last week is not new, but is part of a long and complicated history. Over this last year alone, 3,800 anti-Asian racist incidents have been reported to a group called Stop AAPI Hate. Most of those targeting women. And so today we grieve the loss of life in Atlanta as we once again found ourselves looking upon as another young white man senselessly took the lives of God's beloved children. And so we pause to pray for families in Atlanta who are in grief. We pause to pray for the violence that is perpetuated over and over by toxic white masculinity, that violence would be transformed. To pray for all of the Asian American and Pacific Islander people who live in fear in their daily lives. And for God's love to guide us all, that we might become together the peace that we long to see in the world. And so I invite us just to pause for a moment in the silent depths of God's grace. Amen. And it is in praying on days like today that I am reminded just one more time of how deeply I miss being together for in-person worship in the sanctuary. And yet the realities of pandemic continue to compel us to share in online worship, doing our parts to keep one another as safe as we can. We do want to share today that our COVID-19 response team, Ashley and Brittany and Derek, they met for several hours last Sunday to talk through some next steps that our community will be taking. They'll be working alongside our administrative board, and over the coming weeks, we are hopeful that we'll soon be ready to share some details about our evolving plans for how we will transition over the coming months to offering in-person gatherings and virtual online gatherings as well. So like most of all the world, we are finding our way, working hard behind the scenes to imagine and to prepare for hybrid in-person and online gatherings going forward. And while we were forced to rush into online worship 1 year ago because of pandemic, we are keenly aware that the process, this next step of gathering for both in-person settings and then also virtually, will involve even more complex decisions and even more complexity in terms of all the things that we're trying to navigate and discern. And we will step into that with all of you over these coming months. We are grateful to be led by a phenomenal team who's helping guide that process. And I want to be clear, we don't anticipate being together indoors in the sanctuary in East Sacramento for at least the next several months, but our hope is that we're continuing to build and to prepare ourselves to share a timeline over the coming weeks to discern ways that next step will look here at the table. And we're grateful as we begin to imagine that kind of new way of being together, both in person and online. We're just grateful at this moment to be together for online worship with the table for March the 21st, even while we're physically apart. I should have said this at the beginning. My name is Matt Smith, and along with Linda Duhirsu, we are the co-pastors of this phenomenal community of faith. And here at the table, we long to celebrate God's unconditional love for all, and we do believe that for God, all does mean all. We continue to find ourselves journeying through the 40 days that the Christian church sets aside to prepare ourselves for the power and the hope of resurrection on Easter. The church calls this season the season of Lent, and we are moving during this season by holding the readings from Scripture that are assigned to the Global Christian Church each Sunday alongside the poetry of Mary Oliver. And we'd love to invite you to take a next step here at the table to learn more. You could do that just by simply texting the word new to the number appearing there on your screen. if you're ready and you're wondering about how we share in life together, maybe you want to meet other people, we'd encourage you to sign up for a series, a six-week series on Tuesday nights that Pastor Linda and I teach together. That series is called Growing in Faith. We're in the midst of one of those groups right now, and we'll begin our next series on Tuesday, April 13th, and we would love to have you join us if you're ready for that. Right now, we're going to continue to move in worship together with a song that comes to us from a singer and a composer, a young artist from Portugal who's new to me. Her name is Mero, and this song is called You Will Be All Right, and this is Casey and Natalie along with Hannah on guitar. And just want to invite you, wherever you happen to be tuning in to worship from in this moment, to just settle in for a moment, to take a breath, and to allow this song to transition us into a time of prayer.
The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will no longer be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke. Though I was their spouse, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more.
It started with a dream, as most things new, from an unformed thought, when the time was due, out of eternal night, where no dawn broke, came a pale new light, and the dreamer woke. In moments clean and clear, the echo bounces back, with a lonesome sound, down an endless track. We are born to time and light, clay and stone, a fleeting glance, skin and bone. And the world is wrapped in wind, and the fields are filled with dust that collect in rising rings of perfect loneliness. Drops of rain in a moving sea. Perhaps that is the reason we stand at the gap, relieved to hear the echo bouncing back. And the world is wrapped in wind, and the fields are filled with mist. Could there be a way?
The days are surely coming. I've heard those words from scripture throughout my life, but they sounded different this week. Recently, we have marked time as we all realize that over 365 days have passed since the stay-at-home orders were issued across the globe. A person sent me a photo of their last normal activity on their phone, which was with two friends following the last in-person worship at the table, March 8th, 2020. An abrupt shutdown that extended beyond anything many of us, except maybe Dr. Fauci, could have ever imagined. And the New York Times published a piece last week entitled, "The Week Our Reality Broke," which it named quite well, at least for me. In this fifth week of Lent, we make another shift in our lectionary readings from the Gospels of Mark and John to the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah and the people of Israel. And we are reminded that the people of Israel were a people whose reality had also been broken. Their homeland had been destroyed by a foreign empire, the same empire in which they now lived in enslavement. With both their sacred temple and holy city devastated, they grieved in exile, and they wondered if their God had abandoned them. They wondered if they could sing to God in this strange land. They wondered if God would even listen. Into these fears and wonderings, God spoke to the people through prophets like Jeremiah. Let's remember that prophets are people who come so close to God, and God comes so close to them that they know what God wants. Sometimes God's message is a warning for people who are not living in the best ways, and sometimes God has a message of hope for the people going through difficult times. Sometimes it is about making all things new. Jeremiah brought many messages to God's people, but today we are in what is known as Jeremiah's sayings or Jeremiah's book of consolation. God promised them that it would not always be this way, and that this time of trial, and in the way that they understood things, their worldview, this time of punishment would eventually end. And God would restore them to their home, and God would help them rebuild their sacred temple and their holy city, and God would rebuild their society and restore their life together. God would save them from their despair. And God doesn't stop there. We hear through Jeremiah that God promises even more. "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." What if we too were to recognize God's law written on our hearts? Our weekly Lenten devotional suggests that if that were true, if instructions were no longer needed, since genuine joy and praise and compassion and justice would be our second nature, we would be closer to God and know what God wants from us. And the path toward discovering this second nature, according to Mary Oliver in the poem we are holding in conversation with Jeremiah this week, is to be mindful. She writes, "It was what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclamation, but of the ordinary, the common, the drab, the daily presentations. O good scholar, I say to myself, how can you help but grow wise with such teachings as these? In her commentary on Jeremiah 31, biblical scholar Margaret Odell writes, what is imagined here is a resilient relationship of trust and mutuality in which Israel responds to God from the heart and God accepts Israel freely with mercy and forgiveness. But what makes the new covenant possible is what had always been true but needed to be learned again. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Relearning things that are true about God's everlasting love was not just the work of those ancient people of Israel. The people of God throughout generations, including ours, have had to relearn this as well. The days are surely coming when our expression of God's love will spring forth so naturally from us that we won't even have to think about it. Imagine the way the world could be if God's law was no longer external, but part of the fabric of our being. People would love their neighbor as they love themselves. The question of wearing a mask and getting a vaccine would not be up for debate. The mutual trust and love would undergird our ways of hospitality and generosity. Poverty would disappear then, as would hunger and homelessness. All would have enough, including our beloved planet. She would have as much care and attention. Her water would be clear, her air clean, and her soil rich. In the very beginning of the pandemic, when the world stopped, we were very quickly experiencing something extraordinary and at the same time shocking. Do you remember? Smog stopped choking the world. It stopped choking New Delhi. Air pollution was reduced 49% in Rome in just 1 month. Animals were wandering in places and at times they were not usually, because we were not encroached upon their space. Fish, they returned to the waterways of Venice. We got a glimpse of what might happen if we relearned how to love one another in better ways. The days are surely coming. In May and June of 2020, of the pandemic, when the world witnessed the murder of George Floyd, thousands of people reached in love when they poured into the streets with passionate cries for the dismantling of white supremacy. Racial reckonings brought attention and fueled reform to the ways of policing in our country, which has historically and currently been practiced with brutality against our Black, Indigenous siblings of color. Still in the midst of jury selection in the trial of the former Minneapolis police officer charged with George Floyd's death and murder, we learned of the largest civil rights pretrial settlement ever, $27 million. The days are surely coming when vaccine rollouts, based on strategies centering both vulnerability and equity, would be seamlessly implemented and followed. And maybe, the virus of anti-Black racism will also be eradicated. Imagine the way the world could be if God's law was no longer external, but part of the fabric of our being. Asian and Pacific Islander people would feel safe in simply living their lives as the beloved people we know they already are. I'm recording this on Thursday morning when there are still so many unanswered questions about the shooting death of 8 persons, 6 of whom were Asian American women living and working in Atlanta, Georgia. This in a time when recorded and accounted for hate crimes against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are on the rise. The days are surely coming when we will know that hashtags are not enough, that silence is not acceptable, when hate is recognized in all its forms and eradicated, period. This week, Dr. Christine Hayes, professor of religious studies and justice at Yale, wrote in her public letter to President Biden, "Our nation requires justice and needs mercy. An ancient Jewish tradition," she wrote, "compares God at the moment of creation to a king holding a delicate glass, and the glass will shatter if it's filled with hot liquid or cold liquid, so the king mixes hot and cold. Similarly, God realized that if God created the world with mercy only, wickedness would abound. With justice only, it would not long endure. And so, God created the world with both justice and mercy in the fervent hope that the world might endure. The day is surely coming, and I am ready for that day to be today. At least I think I am. I say I'm ready for that day, but maybe it is more true to say that I want to be ready for that day. I dream of reality breaking our hearts of stone and giving us hearts for love alone. As the commentary from Salt Project reminded me this week, today's followers of Jesus, just like our Jewish siblings, seek the inner transformation that would shape our hearts once and for all to do good, to do no harm, and to stay in love with God. Differently than theirs, our transformation happens when our story meets the story of Jesus, his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, which is the mystery we are moving towards, to be sure. But it is a mystery that is to be explored like a poem or a country, not solved like a puzzle or a riddle. The theologian Douglas John Hall impressed this upon me when he wrote, "The theology of the cross is nevertheless, first of all, a statement about God, and what it says about God is not that God thinks humankind so wretched that it deserves death and hell, but that God thinks humankind and the whole creation so good, so beautiful, so precious in its intention and potentiality that its actualization is fulfillment. Its redemption is worth dying for." I want to be ready for that. For the dying to what prevents us from going ever deeper into the heart of God. For the internal identity of humanity to consistently show itself through our external behavior. When that happens, where we live out of God's law of love, not because we are forced or obligated to do it, but because it is how our hearts are shaped and we can do no other. Maybe you want that too. Maybe that's why you showed up and joined us today. If that's the case, then as Mary Oliver invites, may we all remember to be mindful. Every day, May we see or hear something that more or less kills us, but with delight, that leaves us like a needle in the haystack of light. It was what we are born for, to look, to listen, to lose ourselves inside this soft world, to instruct ourselves over and over in joy and acclamation. O good scholar, may we say to one another, how can you help but grow wise with such teachings as these? The days are surely coming, says the Lord.
Amen. And thank you, Pastor Linda, in hopes of living in this moment into the days which are surely coming. I want to invite us to settle into a time of prayer together. We pray here at the table in so many different ways. And throughout this season of Lent, we are turning in prayer each Sunday to a different version of a prayer inspired by the Lord's Prayer, what the Christian Church calls the Lord's Prayer, which was originally shared with the disciples of Jesus so many generations ago. And today, I want to invite us to share together in the words of a prayer that were adapted from the Anglican Church of New Zealand by a pastor named Tom Hall. And so I invite you to just settle wherever you happen to be in this moment. And if you'd like to join me, to invite us to just join our voices, our hearts in a spirit of prayer together while we are physically apart from one another. So let us pray. Eternal Spirit, source of all that is and ever shall be, loving parent in whom we discern heaven, may knowledge of your holiness inspire all peoples, and may your commonwealth of peace and freedom flourish on earth until all of humankind heed your call to justice and compassion. May we find the bread that we need for today, and for the hurts we cause one another, may we be forgiven in the same measure that we forgive. In times of trial and temptation, help us to be strong. When life seems overwhelming, help us to endure. And thus, from the yoke of sin, deliver us. May you reign in the power of human love now and forever. Amen. Amen. And as we move with the global Christian church ever more closely to the power and the hope of resurrection on Easter, we want to share a few reminders about Holy Week, the week leading up to Easter here at the table. And first, we want to take a moment to let you know that if you're interested in learning more about celebrating the sacrament of baptism here with the table during Holy Week, Pastor Linda and I would love to talk with you. We have a simple form on our website that we'd love to invite you to check out and to send us a message through that form. It doesn't commit you to anything. It just invites more conversation for us to share a little bit about what baptism means for us here at the table and what it might mean in your life, and then potentially to share in that celebration together over Holy Week. Maundy Thursday will be a bit different this year. Maundy Thursday is the Thursday before Easter in which the global Christian church commemorates Jesus's Last Supper with his closest of followers. And this year, instead of gathering online for Maundy Thursday, we will gather in our separate homes. Chloe and Seska and Jan have been working together over these last few weeks to prepare a beautiful resource to help individuals and families mark this special day in our respective homes. We'll have that resource available on our website in the coming days, and we will also offer it for those who live close here in Sacramento. We'll also have printed copies and some gifts for you to pick up on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, to help us all get ready for that Maundy Thursday in our homes. We are thrilled to share that our administrative board has decided to direct our Easter offering this year to two important ministries. Half of our Easter offering will go to support South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership's Food Closet. It's an organization in South Sacramento that's been working for decades to help those facing food insecurity. And the other portion of our Easter offering this year will go to support Table Farm, a new ministry that we took responsibility for at the end of August. It's about a 5th-acre farm on a small elementary school in a neighborhood called Hollywood Park. It's just a few blocks from that South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. And we're growing food there for the neighborhood and for the Interfaith Food Closet. And half of our Easter offering will go to support that new ministry. If you'd like to make a gift to that Easter offering, or to make a gift to support our life together here at the table, you can do that by just going to our website, thetableumc.org. If you prefer, it's also possible to give by text, and you do that by simply texting any amount to the number that's there on your screen. We are gonna go out this morning to our music team's stunning, stunning version of Gregory Porter's The Way You Wanna Live. Along with our musicians, Omari Tao on vocals and Brendan Lowe, our music director, on keyboard, and Ben Kopf on bass and Tim Stevenson on drums, our music team is joined this week by a special guest who's a saxophonist who's from New York City. Her name is Alexa Tarantino. And so may this song guide us into the week ahead, that we would go in peace and that we would love God and that we would love our neighbors. Amen.
Weird one, and yes, wise one, standing on rocks of compromised cliffs, trying to find your thrill. Peace against your will, that's the way you wanna live. Big one, and yes, small one, flying through smoke and lying on the mud, trying to find your thrill. Peace against your will, that's the way you wanna live. Well, I need someone just to be there, just to be square for me. I've been through it all. Catch me when I fall, just be there for me. Yes, wise one, standing on rocks of compromised cliffs, trying to find your thrill. Peace against your we'll be right back. just to be there, just to be square for me. Just be there for me. Weird one, and yes, wise one, standing on rocks of compromised cliffs, trying to find your thrill. Peace against your one.